Okay, so we're in Sefer Yehoshua, Perek Yudalad. At the beginning of the Perek, you know, the Perek introduces this idea. You know, it introduces the division of Eretz Yisrael. Until now, in Sefer Yehoshua, we've been talking mostly about the conquest of Eretz Yisrael, and now we begin to talk a little bit about the division of land in Eretz Yisrael, and then Pasuk Vav. We'll start again from Pasuk Vav. That's where our story kind of begins. And the pasuk tells us, "Va'yigshu v'nei Yehuda el Yehoshua ba'Gilgal." So the people of Shevet Yehuda approach Yehoshua in Gilgal. As we know, that was the camp of Bnei Yisrael at the time. "Va'yomer elav Kalev ben Yefune haKnizi." And now Kalev ben Yefune, who is called the Knizi, which we'll see, a little bit later tonight, will be an interesting way of describing him. But he's the Knizi. Ata yadata es hadavar asher diber Hashem el Moshe isho Elokim. You know, you Yehoshua, you know that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe about me, al odosai v'al odosecha b'kodesh barnei, about me and about you. And what's he referring to, obviously? He's referring to the story of the Meraglim, right? This whole episode with the Meraglim, where he and Yehoshua were the only ones who were still around. Right, and they had, as we know from Parsha Shlach, they had this Ruach Acheres, that despite the fact that the 10 Meraglim came back with a bad report, they, Yehoshua and Kalev, came back with a good report. And we read last week about this concept that some of the Mefarshim mentioned, that both Yehoshua and Kalev, who were from, Yehoshua is from Shevet Ephraim, which comes from Yosef. Kalev was from Shevet Yehuda, which is why the Bnei Yehuda now are approaching Yehoshua with Kalev. So these two Shvatim of Yosef and Yehuda have a certain, you know, tendency towards sin. As we know, both Yosef and Yehuda, during their lifetimes, engaged in some sort of a mistake, some sort of a sin. Yosef spoke badly about his brothers, and Yehuda, we said the sin of Yehuda was... what did we say was the sin of Yehuda? Yehuda's... Was that it? I forget now what we mentioned. Okay, I can't remember now what we mentioned. I don't have my notes in front of me from last week. But either way, they both represented this type of sin that they committed. And because of that, there was a certain Ruach Tumah. There was a certain Ruach Tumah that affected both Yehoshua and Kalev, who descended from Yosef and from Yehuda, and therefore they had to overcome that, and that was a little bit of the Ruach HaTumah, that the Ruach HaCheres, perhaps, that some of the Mefarshim said that they overcame. Okay, so now we have a pasuk that we didn't look at yet last week. There's a new pasuk for this week, pasuk Zayin. Ben Arboim Shana Anochi Bishloach Moshe Eved Hashem Osim Mikodesh Barnea. So comes Yehoshua, comes Kalev, and he says, "Listen, you know, let's learn a little history, right? I was 40 years old. I was 40 years old when Moshe, who was the Eved Hashem, sent me from Kadesh Barnea. That was where the Bnei Yisrael were camped, and Moshe sent out the Meraglim from Kadesh Barnea. L'ragel es ha'aretz, right? L'ragel es ha'aretz, from the language of Meraglim, in order to spy out the land. Va'ashev oso davar ka'asher im levavi." And I returned and I replied with my thoughts, Kasher im levavi, the thoughts that were with my heart. Now it's interesting that all the Mefarshim pick up here on the language of Kasher im levavi. You know, why is Kalev focusing on the thoughts that were in his heart? And most of the Mefarshim here, the Pe Echad, really all say that it's specifically the thoughts that were in his heart and not the thoughts that were in his mouth. Why? Because Kalev at the time, and if you remember, some of the Mefarshim in Parsha Shlach say this regarding when it's the pasuk says Vayahas Kalev. So the Mefarshim say that he got everyone quiet. How did he get everyone quiet? Because everyone, the Meraglim, thought that he was on their side. Right? Imagine, as they're traveling through Eretz Yisrael, the Meraglim are saying, "Oh my gosh, this is terrible and that's terrible. Look at these big giants and look at this terrible land. We're never going to be able to do it." And Yehoshua and Kalev were kind of nodding along. They didn't say anything. Why? Because they were afraid if they would open up their mouths, right, in defiance of what the other Meraglim were saying, maybe they would get beaten up, maybe they would get killed, maybe they would be pressured. They were nervous. They were scared to open up their mouths. once they got back to Moshe and Bnei Yisrael, and now the ten meraglim are saying their evil reports, Kalev pretends like he's going to add on to their evil report. Vayahas Kalev, he gets everyone quiet, and everyone thinks he's going to jump on the bandwagon and bash the land of Israel, just like the other ten meraglim. And then lo and behold, Kalev gives a good report. Yehoshua gives a good report, unlike the reports of the meraglim. And that's why the Mefarshim say, it says here in the Pasuk, Kasher im levavi. Right? The words, I spoke the words that were in my heart. I didn't speak the words that were on my lips. Because at first I was kind of playing the game. I was going along with the other meraglim to make them think that I was one of them. And then, when push came to shove, we came back to Moshe Bnei Yisrael. They gave their bad report. That's when I stood up and I spoke the words that were in my heart. Okay, we'll see why it's also important. We'll see in a little bit why it's important that he mentions that he was 40 years old. So we'll see that in a little bit. And the Malbim also says that the next few psukim, Kalev is about to argue for his share of the land of Eretz Yisrael, his particular share. And he wants Chevron, or we'll see part of Chevron. And that's what was given to him by Moshe. It doesn't say so explicitly in the Torah, but we're going to learn that that's what was given to him by Moshe, that was promised to him by Moshe, that he was going to get part of Chevron. And here the Malbim says that he's about to give four reasons why he deserves to get a special share in the land of Israel, and specifically this land of this part of Chevron. So says the Malbim, this is reason number one. Reason number one, says the Malbim, is that what he's saying is, Kash, I spoke, Va'ashev oso davar ka'asher im levavi. I didn't just speak with my eyes. The other meraglim, what was their problem? Their problem was they went and they looked and they saw, and what met their eyes was something scary, was something, not feasible, was something that was not doable. The land was too difficult. The inhabitants were too strong. We won't be able to do it. Just, what met their eyes, that's what they reported. Kalev says, I didn't just report what met my eyes. I reported Kasher im Levavi. I took what I saw and I processed it. And I thought about it and I understood it. And when I did that, I realized, things might look a little bit scary, but we can really overcome. We can really develop the land. We can really conquer the land. It's not as bad as it looks. And he says that was part of the downfall of the meraglim, that they just looked and they saw, boom, it was negative, it was bad, and then that's what they reported.
He always was in favor of it.
Correct.
But the only
he's Kalev. We're talking about Kalev here.
Right.
Correct.
Right. The only two that were in favor.
Exactly.
Everybody else was supposed to.
Exactly. That's what we're saying. Yeah, exactly. That's what we're saying. Right. But the point here is, he's saying that I was different. How was I different from the meraglim? They all just looked with their eyes and that was it. Right? What they saw kind of scared them, what they saw they didn't like, that's it. So they turned their backs and they said, we're not into this. This is not for us. I saw something, it looked a little bit challenging, but then I processed. I thought, how can we do this? How can we overcome it? And I realized that it's possible and there really are beautiful things about the land and there are good things about the land. And although there might be some challenges along the way, okay, but these are surmountable challenges, things we can overcome. Such an important lesson just in life also, that so many times, you have the pessimist, the optimist, and then, the people who are in between, right? But very often the pessimists, I remember once hearing somebody say that people who are slightly pessimistic or slightly, sometimes, slightly of depressive mood, not people who are clinically depressed, but people who are slightly depressive mood, that often they're more realistic. They're not imagining things. They're looking at things in the world and they're seeing, there are challenges out there. Life is full of challenges. Life is full of hurdles, right? So if you just look at it, if you look and you see all the problems, you just look out, like Kalev is saying, the meraglim, they just looked with their eyes and just what they saw at face value, it's challenging, it's difficult, it's hard. And that kind of gets you down. Kalev was saying, but I didn't just do that. I took what I saw and then I processed. I thought, how can we do it? How can we overcome? Of course, everything with Hashem's help. So when we take the things that we see in life, the things that look challenging, and we figure out how we can overcome them, we figure out how we can get around them, how we can get through them or over them. So that's really the nekuda that Kalev is emphasizing. It's interesting. It's an interesting perspective about the meraglim that I don't think we usually think about when we read Parsha Shlach. But he was saying this was one of the major nekudos of difference. This was one of the major points of difference between me and Yehoshua and the other 10 Meraglim. We didn't just take what we saw. We processed, we thought, we evaluated. How can we do it? And we came up with positive solutions. And often the people who are most successful in life are not the people who don't see the challenges. Of course, they see the same challenges that all of the pessimists see, right? And all of the quote-unquote realists see. But why are they optimistic? Why are they dreamers? Why are they builders? Why are they people who can accomplish? Because they see the challenges, they see the problems, and they say, you know what? We can do this. There are challenges, there are problems, there are issues, there are hurdles. We can overcome them. We can go around them. We can get through them. We can strategize. We can try to figure out, with Hashem's help, how we're going to get through this. And that's how... So Kalev was a dreamer. They were all the pessimists, the other 10 Meraglim. And Kalev was the dreamer. He saw the barren land and he realized, you know what, this can be great. This can turn into an Eretz Zavas Cholav Udvash. You know, one day, with Hashem's help and as we develop it. So that's what... It's just an interesting perspective that I never thought about. But says the Malbim, this is contained in Kalev's words of Ashevo Sodavar Ka'asher Im Levavi. Yeah. The chait was that they were too short-sighted. When Hashem promises you something, you have to, and He says it's good, you have to realize that it's good. You can't just look with your eyes and see something challenging and say, oh, that can't be. You know, Hashem promised you. Hashem said it's a good land. He promised you this land. It's good. So look, you see something challenging, you see something negative, so figure out how you're going to make it work. Right? Figure out how you're going to make it work. Right? It's like lahavdil in a business. Right? The boss gives you a job. He doesn't want to hear that it's impossible. He doesn't want to hear that it's difficult. He knows it's difficult. He knows it's challenging. He gave you the job. He thinks you can do it. He wants to hear, yeah, it's challenging. This is difficult. You know what? It's hard, but we're going to make this work. We're going to make it happen. That's what he wants to hear. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted from the Meraglim. He wanted them to say, you know what? There are certain challenges. It's not so pashut. It's not so easy. But you know what? Hashem promised us. Hashem says it's good. Look at all the beauty that's there. Look at the potential that's there. And then let's do it. We can do it. That's what he wanted from the Meraglim. Okay, so says the Malbim, that's reason one that Kalev says why he deserves something special here. Okay, Pasuk Ches, let's see Pasuk Ches. Ve'achai asher alu imi, my brothers who came up with me, meaning the other Meraglim, right, the other Meraglim, my brothers that came up with me, himsiu eslev ha'am. They tried to dissuade the people, right, they tried to persuade the hearts of the people. They tried to convince the people's hearts that this is not a good land. This is not for us. We should not go there. Ve'anochi mileisi acharei Hashem Elokai. Right? And I followed after Hashem. I followed after Hashem. And here the Malbim says that this was reason number two. This was reason number two. Not only did I look at things with the right perspective, but I also held strong against those who were trying to dissuade me. And sometimes we know that we have things in life where we know what's right, and we have, you know, whether it's a little voice in the back of our head or whether it's actual people who are telling us, no, don't do that or do this, even though we know it's not the right thing to do. And we have to have the courage to hold strong and to say, no, this is what's right, and I'm not going to listen to you because this I know this is what's right. And Kalev was saying that I had that courage. I had that fortitude to recognize what was right, and despite the fact that Achai, my brothers, the other 10 Meraglim, were himsiu eslev ha'am, they were trying to dissuade and trying to persuade the hearts of the people. I didn't listen. I knew what was right, and I was going to stick to it despite the incredible pressure. Right? You think about the pressure here. You have 12 people going, 10 of them, and these were big people. Right? Even the 10 who were chote were big people. They were nasiim. These were chashuva people. You think you're going to be the one to go against them? You're going to be the one or the two to go against them? That's hard. And especially once they got the whole nation riled up, and everybody's, you know, and everybody's saying, this is a terrible land, we can't go, it's too hard. You're going to be the one guy to say, no, we can do it? That's not so simple. But that's what Kalev said. I withstood that temptation. The Alshech points out here that also because these 10 Meraglim tried to dissuade the people, Kalev is saying, therefore, I should get their portion. Right, they lost out on their share of Eretz Yisrael. We know they didn't make it. The 10 Meraglim. I should get their portion. Let's see Pasuk Tes. Vayishova Moshe b'yom ha'hu le'mor. And on that day, Moshe, right? Moshe promised on that day. He swore on that day. Imlo ha'aretz asher darcha raglecha ba. This language of Imlo, the Mefarshim say, is a language of Shavua. It's a language of an oath. That this land, ha'aretz asher darcha raglecha ba. The land that your feet walked over, right? The land that your feet walked through. L'cha sihiye l'nachala. It should be for you an inheritance. For you it should be an inheritance. Ulvanecha ad olam, for you and for your children forever. Ki mileisa acharei Hashem Elokai. This is interesting. So the Radak points out here that that this land is referring to Chevron. This is what he's talking about. Haaretz. Asher darcha ragl chaba, the land that you walked through. This land is referring to Chevron. And this is what Moshe promised Kalev on that day, right? In reward for the fact that he stood strong and he gave a good report, that he was going to get Chevron. And even though it doesn't say it explicitly in the Torah, the Radak points out that it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. It doesn't say anywhere that he was going to get Chevron, right? In fact, if you, the pasuk, the only pasuk that implies this, the Mefarshim say, is that if you look here, actually, if you look in our pasuk, what does it say? Ha'aretz asher darcha rag lecha ba. So it's written in the singular. Your legs walked to this land, right? What do you mean your legs? Didn't the meraglim all travel together throughout Eretz Yisrael? So it should have been your in the plural, right? Ragleichem. Shouldn't have been raglecha, right? Why only your legs? Why not the legs of all the meraglim? So the Radak says that the other meraglim didn't go to Chevron. Why? Because who lived in Chevron? Giants. Achimon, Sheshai, and Talmai. They were big giants. These were powerful, mighty giants. And the meraglim were terrified. So the meraglim didn't go to Chevron. They didn't even go to check it out. They heard there were giants there. We're not going. Right? We're not going to see Chevron. Kalev said, you know what? I want to see Chevron. He probably had heard about Chevron. We know Chevron already historically. He went by himself to Chevron. That's what it says, yeah. Right? The other meraglim didn't come with him. He went by himself. Now, I'm sure he hid. I'm sure he's not just going. He's not, I mean, again, they were spies.
You sure they
go? I'm not sure. I mean, in the Navi here, it implies that he went alone.
Right.
That's what it implies.
Because it doesn't make any sense. They're going
on a mission and half the people aren't going? More than half. 10 of them aren't going.
I know.
Yeah, they're scared. They're scared. Yeah. Ten out of the 12.
Doing something else.
No, they went to other parts of the land. They went to other parts. Just they're not going to Chevron. Chevron they were too scared to go to because they have these giants there. So, but Kalev himself did go. In fact, the pasuk in Parsha Shlach, I'll read it to you. You don't have it in front of you. But the pasuk says, Vayalu vanegev, that the meraglim went up, right? Went up from the south. They came up from the south. Vayavo ad Chevron. Then all of a sudden it changes to the singular. In the Torah, in Parsha Shlach, it starts out in the plural, Vaya'alu, right? They came up together. And then all of a sudden it says Vayavo, changes to the singular. That he came ad Chevron. So who's he? So we see from Navi, we're talking about Kalev, right? Kalev was the one who came. Visham, and who's there? Achimon, Sheshai, and Salmai, right? These three giants, Achimon, Sheshai, and Talmai, who were Yilidei Ha'anak, they were the children of the giant. Their father was a giant, and they were giants. Chevron was built for 7 years. But this was the Shavua. And the Malbim says, this is reason number three that Kalev was saying. I shouldn't just get this land because, number one, I saw things in a different light than the other Meraglim. Number two, I withstood the temptation and the pressure to give a negative report, and I still gave a positive report. And number three, reason number three, because Vayishava Moshe. Moshe promised me this land. Right, so this is the third reason why I should get this.
Didn't Moshe promise him? He promised just him, or
just him? No, the other meraglim that weren't even going to make it to Eretz Yisrael. Moshe just promised Kalev the land. Oh, so now let's see pasuk yud. Ve'ato hine hechiyah Hashem osik asher diber ze arboim chamesh shana. So he says, and now Hashem allowed me to stay alive. It allowed me to stay alive throughout this entire time for the last 45 years. Right, so how old is he now? Do the quick math. I mean, he's going to say how old he is in a minute. He's 85. Right, because if he was 40 when Moshe sent him, and now he's saying that this was, you know, I'm still alive 45 years later. So now Kalev is 85 years old. Okay, and he says, Hashem kept me alive for all these years. May Oz Diber Hashem Es Hadavar Azeh El Moshe. From the time that Hashem spoke to Moshe and told him this, meaning, and he's implying that this promise to give me Chevron was not just something that Moshe cooked up on his own. This was something that Hashem already told Moshe. Promise Kalev Chevron. Right? That's what he should get. Asher halach Yisrael ba'midbar. All the 40 years that Bnei Yisrael walked through the Midbar. And now, I'm 85 years old. And I'm 85 years old now, and we'll see in a second why he's focusing so much on the age. It's interesting. So Rashi says that, you know, we know from Chazal that it took Bnei Yisrael 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, right? From the time that Yehoshua came into Eretz Yisrael, it took them 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And we know conquering doesn't mean that they conquered the entire land, but it means they conquered enough that they had control over the land. And the land, the parts of Eretz Yisrael that they hadn't officially conquered yet, they were going to conquer, right? So it took them 7 years to do that. And Chazal say it also took them 7 years to divide the land, and for every, you know, to divide land, and for everybody to settle in their land, and for all the different Shvatim to fully conquer their portions. That took an additional 7 years. So Rashi says, how do we know that it's 7 years? It doesn't say anywhere explicitly that it's 7 years. So he says, we learn it out from these psukim right here. He says, because if, because Kalev is saying that it was 45 years, right? Since the episode of the Meraglim, 45 years have passed. He says, Moshe sent the Meraglim, we know, in the second year. Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar in this, during the second year. That's when Moshe sent the Meraglim. Okay, we know that they were in the Midbar for 40 years, right? So that's 38 years, right? He sent them the second year. They remained in the Midbar for 40 years. So we have 38 years in the Midbar. He's Kalev is telling us now that it's 45 years later, right? So from 38 to 45, okay, that's another 7 years, okay? And this is at this point, we're done the battles, right? We finished. We finished conquering Eretz Yisrael. So Rashi says, this is where Chazal learned from these psukim, this is where Chazal do the math, that it must have taken them 7 years from the time Yehoshua entered until the wars, you know, basically stopped and most of the land was conquered. It's 7 years. And that's why Kalev is saying that, you know, it's been 45 years since that time. That's how we get the 7 years. And the Malbim says, in this pasuk, we see the fourth reason Kalev says that I deserve a special chelik, I deserve Chevron. Why? Because, Hinei hecheyo Hashem osi. Hashem kept me alive all these years. Look at the hashgacha. The ten meraglim are gone. Yehoshua, it's just me and you. Right? We're the only ones left. Okay, you see the hashkach of Hashem, that He kept us alive, He kept me alive throughout all this time, throughout the 38 more years in the Midbar, right? Throughout the 7 years that we've been fighting here in Eretz Yisrael. Kalev says, He kept me alive. Hashem kept me alive all these years. Right? What's it for? Obviously, this is the fourth reason. You see the hashkach of Hashem, that He still wants me to be alive. He still wants me to get this chelek in the land. And not only that, but says Kalev in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Odeni hayom chazak asher b'yom shelochasi Moshe. And he says, in fact, he says, physically, I'm just as strong today as I was when Moshe sent me 45 years ago. Right? Which is interesting. And he's not just saying that. You know, sometimes you have 85-year-old people saying, yeah, I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. It's baloney. Right? What Kalev was saying is emes. Right? He's saying, physically, I'm just as strong today as I was when I was 45 years ago. Kikochi oz ukikochi ata. Right, just like my strength then, that's my strength now. La milchama v'latzeis v'lavo. Right, what's la milchama? So the Metzudas David says, I'm strong that I'm able to go to battle, and I'm also strong. I can even lead my troops into battle. I can still fight, and I can still be the general to lead the troops into battle and to fight as well. Right, the Metzudas David says that he's responding to Yehoshua because he's coming to Yehoshua to ask for a piece of land. And keep in mind, they say that Hebron was not yet conquered. Hebron, that area of the land, was not yet conquered. Okay? So he's coming to Yehoshua and saying, I want Hebron. Yehoshua's going to look at him and say, you know, Rabbi, my friend, you're 85 years old. Right? If you were 40 or 50, I would say, okay, here, go take Hebron and go conquer it. You're 85. You're not going to be able to go conquer Hebron now at 85. And Kalev is saying, don't worry about it. I can do it. I feel my strength. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me this. I have the same strength now. And this is also, says the Malbim, this is also part of the Hashgachas Hashem. Right? Says Kalev, why am I still as strong at 85, you know, as I was when I was 40? Why do I still have the same strength? That's not a natural thing. It's an ace. Why do I still have the same physical strength at 85? It must be because Hashem wants me to conquer Hebron. Hashem wants me to conquer this land. Oh. Okay. Pasuk Yud Beis. And now, please give me this mountain, right? Talking about Hebron. The way that Hashem promised me by Yom Ahu on that day, ki ata shamata by Yom Ahu. He says, and you were there, Yehoshua, right? You heard Moshe promised me this land from Hashem. Ki anakim sham, there are giants there, the arim gedolos pitsuros, and there are strong and fortified cities there. But don't worry, ulai Hashem osi v'horashtim kasher diber Hashem. Maybe Hashem will be with me, and He'll enable me to conquer them the way that He said. It's interesting. It uses a very interesting term here. Ulai Hashem Osi. Right? So literally, it's translated as maybe Hashem will be with me. But normally you would say, Ulai Hashem Iti. Right? Why does it say Osi? Right? Normally you would think that Hashem will be with me. So the Al-Sheikh says the reason why it changes from Iti to Osi here is to show us Kalev wants to emphasize that if I'm successful at defeating and conquering Hebron, it's only because of Hashem Osi. It's only because my strength is Hashem. That's it. It's not ET. It's not that Hashem is with me, meaning that I'm the one conquering and Hashem is helping me along. No, Hashem is Osi. Whatever strength I have is only from Hashem. So it changes the language. Kalev changes language to emphasize the fact that I believe 100% that if I'm successful in conquering Hebron, it's all because of Hashem. I'm just the kli. I'm just the shaliach. I'm just the medium, the general through which he's conquering. But it's really Hashem conquering. It's really his strength. OC. Whatever I have is him, really. Right? It's an amazing thing because it's such a sensitivity. You know, it's one thing to say, listen, it's not kochi votzim yadi. It's not me conquering. Hashem is with me. That's one thing. That's one madrega. To recognize the fact that any success in life is because Hashem is with me. But here, the Al-Sheikh says, Kalev is going a step further. It's not just that Hashem is with me. I'm recognizing even more than that. Meaning, Hashem is me. Whatever I accomplish is Hashem. It's not that I'm successful and Hashem is helping me. Hashem is not even helping me. Hashem is doing everything. I'm just like a kli. I'm just a tool. I'm just a vessel, a utensil that Hashem is using to conquer Hebron. But really, everything is Hashem. It's completely Hashem. You know, it's an amazing, amazing sensitivity, you know, to say that. You know, again, we're used to training ourselves. Hashem helps us, you know, Be'ezras Hashem, Siyata Dishmaya. That's how we're used to talking, that Hashem always helps us with whatever we do. Kalev is going even a step further. Hashem is Osi. Hashem is me. Whatever I'm doing, Hashem is doing. I'm not even doing anything. I'm just a kli. It's like, you know, you hammer a nail in. The hammer didn't do anything. The person did it. So I'm the hammer. Hashem is using me to conquer Hebron. It's Hashem conquering, not me conquering. I'm not doing anything. Amazing. The Malbim emphasizes here as well that, you know, what Kalev is saying is that the fact that I even have this strength, as we said, right? The fact that I even have this strength is only because Hashem has miraculously bestowed this strength upon me to enable me to do his mission. It's also the beauty of Kalev here seeing the Yad Hashem in everything. Right, that every little thing in his life, he sees is the Yad Hashem. The fact that I'm still alive, it's Hashem's Hashgacha that I'm still alive, so I can inherit this land. The fact that I still have my strength the way that I did. He's not saying because I exercised and I did my push-ups, that's why I still have my strength. I still have my strength because Hashem wants me to have my strength, because Hashem has a mission for me. Everything is focused on the Ribbono Shel. Everything is focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and why Hashem gave me the things that I have in order to accomplish the mission that I have in life. Just amazing, amazing lessons that we can learn from Kalev. Oh, so Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayivarchehu Yehoshua. So Yehoshua blesses Kalev, Vayitein es Chevron leKalev ben Yefune leNachalo, and Yehoshua gives Kalev Chevron as an inheritance. It's interesting that here, what's the blessing? The Metzudas David says he blessed him that he should be successful conquering Hebron. He still got to go out and conquer. He still has to wage war. So that was the bracha that Yehoshua gave him. And the Radak points out here, some of the other Mefarshim point out as well, that, you know, not to put a little downer on this, but Yehoshua wasn't actually getting the city of Hebron. You know, we're talking a lot about Hebron now. So the Metzudas David points out, points out that he's not actually getting the city of Hebron. Why? Because the city of Hebron was one of the Arei Miklat. It was one of the cities of refuge that a person who killed inadvertently used to run to these Arei Miklat, to the cities of refuge. Hebron was one of those cities. Which means, say the Mefarshim, that Hebron was one of the Arei Leviim. the six Arei Miklat were cities of the Levium. They were cities that were given to the Levium to live in. Right? The Levium, we know, had 42 cities, plus the six, they had a total of 48 cities. But six of those 48 were the Arei Miklat. So Hebron was one of them. So Hebron was a Levi city. Right? So Hebron could not have been given to Kalev. Kalev was from Shevet Yehuda. Right? So the Mefarshim say that he wasn't given at the city proper. What he was given was all of the fields outside of Hebron. In Hebron, you know, they had the city where the people lived, and then outside the city, they had all these, you know, fields and all the land and the property that was kind of like the satellite of Hebron. So all that he got. The actual city itself, that was one of the Arei Levium, that was one of the Arei Miklat, that wasn't for Kalev. But all the rest of Hebron, right, the surrounding fields and Chatzeros and all the areas surrounding Hebron, all of that went to Kalev. Pasuk Yudalad, Al Kain Haisa Hebron the Kalev ben Yefune Haknizi Lenachala Ad Hayom Hazeh, and therefore, because of all these reasons, right, because of all these reasons that Kalev said that he followed Hashem and he did what Hashem wanted and he recognized Hashem's providence and influence, that's why he was given this land of Hebron to him and to his descendants as an inheritance. Yana Shemile Achare Hashem Elokei Yisrael, because he followed after Hashem. And the Mefarshim point out here, the Pasuk's trying to remind us that he didn't get it because it was his share. You know, all the Shvatim now are getting their chalek, right? They're getting their chalek. This wasn't his chalek, right? This was not Kalev's, you know, chalek as part of, as one of the members of Shevet Yehuda. This wasn't his chalek. This wasn't coming to him. This was a special gift. This was a special dispensation by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, through Moshe, that Kalev should get this land because he followed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not because of that. It's not because even Yoshua's bracha, says the Al-Sheikh. Don't even think that it was because Yoshua blessed him, and that's why he got it. He got it solely because he followed Hashem. That's why he got this land. Pasuk Tesvav, V'shem Hebron Lefanim Kiryas Arba. And the name of Hebron originally, says the Navi, was Kiryas Arba. We know nowadays, right, I'm not 100% familiar with the geography, but I think there are two places, right? One is called Kiryas Arba, and one is called Hebron. They're right next to each other. But biblically, you know, from the Navi is saying that really they're the same place, right? Hebron originally was called Kiryas Arba, Ha'adam ha'gadol va'anakim hu, and he was the great, the greatest of the giants. Okay, interesting, you know, pasuk here. The ha'aretz shakta mimilchama, and then the land was peaceful. There was no more war after this. So all the mefarshim, you know, talk about this pasuk. That why are we talking about the old name of Hebron here? You know, who cares what Hebron used to be called? Hebron used to be called Kiryat Arba. Who cares about that? And number two, who's this ha'adam ha'gadol ba'anakim? Who are we talking about here? Who is this great giant? The greatest of the giants. This person, you know, what are we saying? So so there's a few different pshatim in the Mefarshim how to understand this pasuk. So Rashi gives a couple of pshatim here, a couple of different explanations. Rashi, one explanation is that there were, remember, keep in mind there were three giants, right? That's what we learned about from the pasuk in Parsha Shlach. There was Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. They were the three giants who inhabited. They lived in Hebron, and Rashi says that their father, according to one explanation, their father's name was Arba. That was their father's name, Arba. So it's called Kiryat Arba. This was the city of Arba. This was the city of this great giant. He was the greatest of the giants. And then he had these three kids, Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. And they lived in the city after him. So maybe that's why it's called Kiryat Arba, after their father, who was the Gadol Sheba Anakim. That's one approach. Another approach is that maybe it's called Kiryat Arba because of the four giants that lived there. The father and his three sons. Not that his name was Arba. His name was not Arba. I don't know what his name was. But whatever it is. But he lived there with his three sons, Achiman, Sheshai, and Talmai. Maybe that's why it's called Kiryat Arba. So in the Pashup Shad, it's not even so clear why this is called Kiryat Arba. The Medrash, Rashi also mentions a Medrash here, that's based on the Pashup Shad. But the Midrashim basically say that that here, the that here the Gadol Sheba Anakim, the greatest of the giants here, is not referring to one of the physical giants, but it's referring to the spiritual giant. Who was the spiritual giant? Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu. And so some say, some of the Midrashim say, that we're talking about Avram Avinu here, and what we're saying is that this city was called Kiryat Arba. Okay, and here Kiryat Arba, according to the Midrashim, why is it called Kiryat Arba? Not because of the giants who lived there, but because of the four pairs of tzaddikim, of Avos and Imahos, who were buried there. Right? The, you know, Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yaakov and Leah. Right? They're the four pairs of Avos and Imahos, and whatever you want to call Adam, Arishon and Chava. But they were the four pairs of tzaddikim and tzidkanios who were buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. And this was all in the merit of the Gadol Sheba Anakim, of the greatest giant, the spiritual giant of Avram Avinu. Why was it in his merit? Because he's the one who purchased, right? He's the one who purchased the land of Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Now it's true that Adam and Chava were already buried there, but the fact that everybody else was buried there was b'schus Avram Avinu that he was buried there. And in fact, according to the Midrashim, when the pasuk says at the end, the Haaretz shakta mimilchama, it's not referring to right now, that right now things were quiet. That's not what it means. The Haaretz shakta mimilchama is saying that in what merit, think about this for a minute, it's amazing. The Midrash says that what was the merit of the people of Eretz Yisrael that for 40 years there was no war? Think about it. Originally, we were supposed to come right from Mitzrayim, get right into Eretz Yisrael and conquer Eretz Yisrael. There would have been wars right away. These people in Eretz Yisrael got an extra 40 years. Right? Now part of it obviously was due to our chet, right? To our sin. But just so you see the complexity of how God runs the world, says the Medrash, but that wasn't the only factor involved. One factor was our chet, right? We were chote with the chet of Meraglim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's it, 40 more years or 38 more years in the desert. You're going to be in the desert for 40 years. Right? That was our chelek. That was our portion in the sin. But says the Mefarshim here, according to the Medrash, that part of the Cheshbon also was a reward, actually, for the people of Chevron, perhaps even. Why? Because what happened when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came, I'm sorry, when Avram Avinu came to buy Ma'aras HaMachpelah, what did the people of Chevron, how did they treat him? They treated him very well, right? Yeah, Ephron, okay, maybe he tried to handle him a little bit, right? But in the end, the people treated him well. They called him, how did they refer to Avram Avinu? Nesi Elokim Ata B'Socheinu. They recognized his greatness. They referred to him in a Bakovetik way. So because of that, says the Medrash, they were rewarded with the Haaretz Shakta Mimilchama. They were rewarded with serenity, peace, and quiet for 40 years. So it's amazing. You know, first of all, it's amazing. You see that the Emorim, you know, the people, the Emori people who were living in this land were rewarded because of the fact that they accorded some degree of kavod to Avram Avinu. They were rewarded with 40 years of peace and serenity because of this. That's one amazing thing that you see. Just giving kavod to someone who deserves the kavod can, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will reward you. And we're talking about here the Umos, you know, we're talking about the Zion Am. We're not talking about Klal Yisrael. We're talking about the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael who were not great people, right? The Ovdei Avodah Zarah, whatever they were, Hashem still rewarded them for something good that they did, right? When they afforded Avram Avinu the proper cover that he deserved, right? Kol Shekein, Alach Has Kama V'Kama, how much more so, you know, do we get rewarded when we give cover to the people that are deserving of that cover? An amazing, amazing lesson for us. But furthermore, you see also the complexity of how Hashem runs the world. You know, because we always think, why were we in the Midbar for 40 years? We think, you know, very linearly. We were in the Midbar for 40 years because we were chote, chet ha-meraglim, right? We listened to the meraglim and we kvetched and complained. Hashem said, that's it. You're all going to die out in the Midbar. We're going to stay here for another 38 years. You're all going to die out and I'm going to go into Eretz Yisrael with a new generation. That's how we look at things. But the Medrash says, you got to broaden your perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the whole Welt. He's running the whole world here. He's not just running, you know, of course it's for Klal Yisrael. But there was also a cheshbon for the Amorim, back that they've backed the Avram Avinu because they said Nesi Elokim Ata B'Socheinu, they were rewarded with another 40 years of serenity. You just see the amazing complexity. of how Hashem runs the world. And so often, you know, and some things, we bad things happen, and we question, you know, why did Hashem do this? What's this? You know, we're fetching and complaining. Why did Hashem do this? Meanwhile, we don't understand. There's so many different factors, so many different, you know, elements that go into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision making. You know, how can we possibly question? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's running the whole world. He has his cheshbonos or lamala are so above our brain power and what we can see. We see things in a very limited way. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees things in the global way. He's making decisions for the entire world, for all of history. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making decisions. We have to keep them in mind as we go through life and encounter some of the challenges of life. Okay, Ritz Hashem, we'll stop here, and then Ritz Hashem next week we'll do Pasuk Perek Tesvav. Perek Tesvav, we'll see. There's a lot of we'll go through it very quickly. We'll probably skip a lot of the pasuk.